Well, brethren, it is nice to be with you again. And so I thought, especially for this time, we should look at something that maybe was a little more practical. Let me get the light just right here. A little more practical. We've had a lot of good lessons, I think, on various elements of Scripture. And one of the things I always appreciated with Pastor Russell is he put emphasis on, you know, in the end, this has got to change something in us. I love that volume one conclusions where he says, now that you know all this, what are you going to do about it? And so I think for all of us, trying to live a life of Christian principles is important. This Titus 3, 1 to 8 is what I selected, and I'm going to share this with you, just in case you don't have it. So this is a study we're going to have on Titus 3, 1 to 8. And I'm going to read this just because it's too hard to have others read sometimes this part, but you can see Titus 3, 1 to 8. Says, put them in mind to be subject to principalities and powers, to obey magistrates, to be ready to every good work, to speak evil of no man, to be no brawlers, but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, and hating one another. But after that, the kindness and love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will, that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. So in the time we have an hour, I think we can cover four different elements that I think are contained in this scripture. One, what are the responsibilities to the government that he puts in verse one? What are our responsibilities to all people? That's part of verse 2. What are the reasons Paul gives us for living differently in verses 3 to 7? And verses 3 to 8, or verse 8 is a very interesting one. If you look at the revised version, improved and corrected, there's a footnote that substitutes profess honest occupations for maintaining good works. And I'd like to hear from some of those that are younger, perhaps a younger working person, and or those considering maybe what they want to do with a career. How are you going to decide on what you do in the world? If you're not working, you're retired, how do you decide on what activities in which you're going to participate? So that's really the basis that we'll have for this. I'll stop sharing this, and hopefully all of you have it. We live in two spheres, really, and there's a real big contrast between those two spheres. One is a sphere of a heavenly kingdom. Jesus is our Lord. On the other hand, we live in the world, and we represent him in the midst of an age that's passing away. And a system in the world that, as we can see, especially at our time, is really the opposite of the plans and purposes of God. And as we're told by Jesus in John 15 and 17, we live in the world, but we're not of the world. But as those who live in the world, we should be cognizant of what our responsibilities are. We live as aliens and sojourners, but we are also ambassadors for Christ, as Paul tells us. And we live that way without being, or should live that way without being contaminated by the age that we're living in and the world system whose God is really anything but our Lord, but perhaps even the devil himself. And the apostle addresses this in his book. So that's kind of the introduction to go through. So we'll take the first question. And as I said, I hope you're willing to participate and offer your thoughts and scriptures. And that's, what are our responsibilities living in this world to the government? Verse 1, where he says, put in mind to be subject to rulers, other New American Standard, others say, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good work. And that work there means work on behalf of the world in which we participate in. So what do you think, as you think about responsibilities? Paul says there's three of them: submission, obedience, and a preparation, promotion. What do you think our responsibilities are as living of citizens in the world around us? How would you summarize our duties to be subject? Again, if you can raise your hand electronically, what does that mean to you to be subject to the authorities? Okay, I see Brother Dan Annis first. Thank you, Brother Dan.
Yes, Brother Len. Well, in my opinion, for what it's worth, I like to think of what the apostles did. They made it very clear. Peter made it very clear. We have to obey God rather than men. That was when they were instructed to quit teaching or quit preaching. So to me, it's quite straightforward. We obey the authorities. We obey all the laws of the land unless there's a conflict. If there's a conflict with the laws of the land and the laws from above, then we know where we have to stand. So, and as far as getting involved, locally, I try to get involved a little bit in my neighborhood. If it's a neighborhood issue or something like that, I don't mind getting involved. But going beyond that, as far as trying to get involved in any of the politics, running any of the state or the country, I stay away from that.
Okay. And maybe as we think about those, and thanks everybody for your hands, we think about what are things that might be mandatory on our part, and what would you think? Dan brought up the idea, what things are voluntary? So next, let's go to Mark Tabak, Brother Mark Tabak. Brother Mark.
Yes, thanks, Brother Len. I think just the word itself is kind of meaning to be subject to authorities or subordinate. I think from the standpoint that you touched on it, that we're ambassadors for Christ. And just like our allegiance is to our Lord, and we are to be ambassadors to represent him and to serve him, just like ambassadors in this country, they should obey the laws. And be obedient from that standpoint, but recognize that their mission isn't to enter into the politics of the land that they're in, but to represent their government. And from our standpoint, that's the kingdom of Christ. So I think, as Brother Dan said, you know, if there's a conflict between the laws of God, I mean the man and God, we are to obey God. But I think in general, we are to be not entering into politics or concerns of this life, recognizing that our responsibility is to serve the Lord, but to do it in a polite way. You know, we witnessed to a group that was kind of street preaching, and they were just so adamant on representing their understanding of the Bible that it was kind of a little offensive. They sounded so angry. So we're to represent Christ in a Christian way, and that's our primary responsibility. Thanks.
Okay, thanks. Good points. And I think as we get along here, I'd like to sort of define where things might be in conflict when you say, you know, as long as we aren't in conflict with them. Let's just think about that as we go through. Next hand up, I see Brother Todd Alexander.
Yes, brother.
I don't know this brother, but.
I love you too. I like two things. I like what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16. He says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid." And then you know what he says in verse 16? He says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." I like to look back also to Joseph. And, you know, God allowed Joseph to be taken prisoner in Egypt for an education. And he got an education. And what did he do? Well, he let his light shine before men. He was his father trusted him as an administrator over his brothers in his life in Canaan. And then that's the job that he took in Egypt and Potiphar's house in the prison. And then, of course, over the whole of Egypt. So I think that our responsibility is to operate in the world as the way to not only let our light shine, but also use our gifts efficiently. And for me, it's been a great place to, my job as a salesman during the week. And then on the weekend, I sell faith. I convince people of faith. And so that's how I have operated under that thing. Over.
Thanks, Todd. Some good points there. So, that's a good example of Joseph, and we might also pick out Daniel, who lived in Babylon his whole life, right? But yet he never really succumbed to what was going on. He always was part of that work with God. Thank you. Brother David Stein.
Well, Brother Len, we have a couple of scriptures that I think that bear upon the question. In Romans chapter 13, Paul deals with this very issue. It was an issue back in the time of him, and he wanted to direct the brethren correctly. And in chapter 13 of Romans, verse 1, it says, "Let every soul be in subjection to the higher powers." So there's principle number one, that these powers exist by God, he says. And to go against them is to withstand the ordinance of God. So we are to be obedient as much as possible, and to cooperate with the governments, recognizing that they are permitted to rule by virtue of his will. Now, verse 5 gives us a little principle. It says, "Wherefore ye must needs be in subjection, not only because of the wrath, but also for conscience sake." So he mentions there that if you go against the governments, well, you're going to get retribution. They're going to fight you. And so that's something to be avoided. But he says also for conscience sake. And the conscience sake is here is that we must carry out the principles of God. If the governments are in harmony with that, then by conscience, we have to follow that as well. But going back to Brother Dan's comment earlier, there is a line of distinction. And Jesus gives this in Matthew chapter 22, verse 21. When the scribes and Pharisees were testing him with respect to paying tax. And the principle he enunciated there, he says, "Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar, unto God the things that are God's." So in answer to your supplementary question there, how do we know when we should not do what the government says? Well, the answer is if they ask us to do something contrary to what God has asked us to do. Any request from a government which goes against our conscience and our service to God, then we must stand for God rather than men. Now, sometimes that distinction might be a little bit slippery, but it is the distinction that we are to make so much as lies within us. Over.
Thank you, Brother David. Yeah, that in fact, that Luke scripture of Jesus, "Render unto Caesar what is Caesar, unto God what is God's," was really what kind of inspired me to look at this whole area, because it was a very interesting point to accuse Jesus of insurrection, and that was what they tried to get him on, because he said he was going to he forbid them to pay taxes when it was just the opposite. Thank you. Next, Brother Michael Gula.
Brother Len, I meet fairly regularly with a group of evangelicals for prayer and for Bible study. And one of the things that they're concerned about is this Equality Act, mm-hmm. which I'm sure everyone knows about. And they're concerned that they may, if this law is passed, that you know what they want to do with the men's rooms and the ladies' rooms and with women's sports. And what they want to do, in not as a group, but individually, is write letters to those in Congress. And I thought about that, and I think that's certainly a good way to do that, to use your Christian influence to try to make the world better. If I thought that they were insurrectionists, I would probably, I know I would part company with them.
Good. All right. Great opportunity for distinction there. Thank you. Next, Brother David Kahn.
Hi. Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you, Brother David.
Okay. One thought of mine is that I would draw the line when the government tells me to be quiet. I can't open my mouth. And, Paul, you know, was a good example of that, that, they wanted him to be quiet too, but he wouldn't. Jesus too. I think that would be going for the government to be going too far to try to make us be quiet. That would contradict with our calling, I think.
Okay, thank you, Brother Dan. Back to you, Dan Annis.
Another thought, Brother Len. I'm thinking about the early Christians in Rome when they were being put to death, being thrown in the arenas with the lions. They fled to the catacombs. And in Hitler's time, many of the believers hid when they could, and they fled, if possible. They escaped. So there are cases where you don't necessarily go along with what the higher powers want.
Okay. Thank you very much. Yeah, in fact, if you think about who are the rulers when Paul wrote this, well, that's Roman emperors. But we can apply it even further to civil powers and any form of government. And then he says authorities, which goes even a level down under that, those under what would be a supreme commander. So everything from, well, let's say the president down to city government and local police, we could take it all the way down. Brother John Slavich.
It's really Pat.
Oh, Sister
I'm
Pat.
I'm here with John. Okay. But I appreciate all the comments. I was also looking, when we look at that second verse, speak evil of no man, be no brawlers, be but gentle, showing all meekness unto all men. And I've thought about how do we react to principalities and powers and obey magistrates and everything else. And I think we've got such good examples of even if we have to speak, we should speak with love. We should speak with kindness. That's not always easy. I think of Stephen as an example, or definitely our Lord. Peter and Paul, they were speaking the truth. They were witnessing. And when we come, and I also think in this world that has so much anger in it, at least in the political realm, that we have to be really careful about our tongues and where they go. And we need to not speak evil of any man. Try to look at, Sandy Thomason's dad always said, look at both sides and be careful, but be a beacon of light for the world, of what behavior should be, what Christian behavior should be, what Christ would expect of us and what our Lord would. And I think that that helps in the everyday walk. We have to try to exemplify that. Over.
Okay, thanks. So we have a scripture. Can somebody get 1 Peter 2:13 and 14? And then somebody else, if you could get Matthew 17:25-27. And just raise your hand when you've got one of those, if you would. Okay, Sister Nanette, thank you.
Well, I was responding to your second scripture.
Okay.
Matthew. Oh, golly. Say it 17, again. I'm 17, in Matthew.
Yeah, 17:25-27.
Okay, I was in 17:25-27. Okay. He said, yes. And when he was come into the house, Jesus prevented him, saying, what think you, Simon? Of whom do the kings of the earth take custom or tribute? Of their own children or of strangers? Peter saith unto him, of strangers. Jesus saith unto him, then are the children free? Notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast an hook and take up the fish that first cometh up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them for me and thee.
Okay. Now, I'd like someone to think about that. What did Jesus mean by that statement and how he worded this? And I'm going to read the other scripture, and then if you have a thought, I appreciate somebody telling me what you think Jesus' thoughts on that meant as far as paying the tribute that way. Brother Steve or Sister Debbie?
Yeah, well, I had raised my hand to read the okay. First Peter scripture, but
great.
Is that okay?
Yeah, First Peter 2:13-14.
Okay. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. Can I just make a quick comment?
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, well, I was looking at this one since I had it in front of me. I was looking at this one more as opposed to the Matthew one. So, but, you know, these two verses are very enlightening because of a number of things that they say. First of all, he says, for the Lord's sake. And we know that our Lord, Jesus, the only ones that he really ever condemned were the religious rulers of Israel. He didn't get involved. He didn't condemn the Romans. He didn't condemn the, you know, Pilate or any of the others in authority or in civil authority of that day, even though they certainly weren't Christian and they weren't followers of him. And, you know, that what you mentioned earlier about rendering unto Caesar, he really pointed out to those religious rulers, he says, well, you know, show me the coin you got there. And of course it happened to be a Roman denarius. So he knew he had them then because they were already rendering unto Caesar by the fact that that's the coin they pulled out of their pocket or their satchel. And of course his response was render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. So when he says, you know, whether it be to the king, which could have been the, you know, the Roman emperor, or to governors, such as the individual governors of the region, unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers. Do we want to be an evildoer? Of course not. And for the praise of them that do well. So, you know, there should be no incentive for us to rebel against the powers that be, unless, you know, military service is obviously an area where we do make an exception. But the laws of our land provide, you know, alternate service in that regard. Now, it wasn't always that way, and not all countries are that way. But, you know, this is certainly a principle, I think, which we all desire to live by. Over.
Yeah, very good. Brother Bob Goodman, next.
Yes, yeah. You know, the principle that we're illustrating, I think, is very powerful about rendering unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. when we did our tour of Israel, we stopped at a place called Beth Shehem, which was a Roman city, very pagan city. And one of the points that our guide made at that city was that there's no mention of Jesus ever going there. In fact, most of the Roman cities he avoided. So there's a principle of avoidance too. And I think what God is saying in a number of these things is that, we're to live peaceably with all men. We have that principle, but don't get involved with the day to day tasks. Your mission is much higher. You're on a secret mission as far as the concern, as the world is concerned. Your mission goals are much higher. Don't get involved. Now, what they did get involved with, they were aware of the situation with the people around them because that's how they could relate to them. So just like an ambassador, they don't vote. They don't get involved in politics, but they observe the people and they observe the politics and they basically stay quiet. And I think that's good advice for us as well.
Good. We're going to talk a little bit about being an ambassador for Christ, but thanks for bringing that up. Next, Brother George Balco.
Yeah, Brother Len. This is a good discussion. A thought came to my mind. One of the best examples of your lesson in Titus as to being subject to the powers and principalities. It's something that we're going to remember just in a few weeks, and that was the Lord's Memorial. And it was the leading up to's of the last Passover that the Lord would partake in. If you remember, he had the apostles take two swords with him. And once confronted by the temple guard, I believe it was Peter that smote the ear off the one temple guard. And Jesus said, suffer be so. And he healed him again. So I think the valuable lesson is that if the Lord or God had intended that his kingdom would have been established by the might of a man's hand, he would have given us that example and said, take arms, but he didn't. I think the bigger lesson, the broader lesson is that he showed the proportion to defend himself, but chose not to because he rested everything in the hand of the Heavenly Father, which will by his mighty power establish the kingdom and bring peace.
Thank you, Brother George. Okay, Brother John Harris.
Hello, brother, and thank you, Brother Lynn. I just want to say one thing here, which is extremely important to me and my walk in understanding things a little different sometimes than others. And it's a very humble statement that I'm about to make. The Lord called me when I was in the military. I got out of the military because I thought that was the right thing to do. Then the Lord, God Almighty himself, I believe, with all my personal heart and in mind, brought me back into the military. Now, why would he do such of a thing if we're not supposed to do that? Well, some say, well, maybe, you know, I was doing wrong. And some have kept to that point, and they have that opinion, and that's their business. But when I look back on now on what the Lord had me to do, I'm thankful that he did it. Because he took me to Afghanistan. And I don't know of any brethren that's ever been where I've been. I just don't know of any that's been there. But the military allowed me to take several suitcases of Bible tract material, truth material, into the heart of Afghanistan. And I was able to witness to Afghani men around the campfire about Abraham. And about the future coming kingdom and have peace on earth and how all things would work out according to God under the blessing that he gave in the promise to Abraham. So I know that that's where God wanted me and that's what he moved me to do. I set an example there by not doing the things that some of the army individuals were doing. They're yelling at them, cursing at them, saying all kinds of things when they go through the gate at them. But see, the people always recognize me there. And I'm talking about the Afghanis because of my cross and crown tattoo that I have on my arm. That's the Christian man. They fed me bread that they fed nobody else because of my attitude and caring attitude towards them there. And one day sitting around the fire late in the evening, we were by the helicopter pad. One of the men in broken English goes, you know, all these things come in for everybody all around us, but we never get anything for our children because these big boxes of school supplies were being brought in by the government to help set up schools there in Afghanistan. I didn't even hesitate. Not one second did I hesitate. I got up from the fire. I walked out to the boxes where on the helipad, and I brought back as much as I could in my arms, and I said, give this to your children. All kinds of school supplies and books and things for them to learn. So I know that the Father sent me there, and I know that he used me in my military service capacity, no matter what anybody else thinks of me. So I just wanted to humbly make sure that I let others know that sometimes being a part of something that they don't understand may be the right thing to do, whether they know it or not. Over.
Right. Well, you grow where you're planted. And so that's really what we have to do. Well, I'm sure we could spend a lot of time on this. I think we need to move on. Brother Ted, can you make a very short comment?
Yes, I completely agree with last statement, Brother, Brother Len. And so, according to the teaching of Jesus from the John chapter 12, verse 47 and 48, each of us and each of human beings represents some level of understanding and responsibility. So this, according to this scripture, 47 and 48, John, so each of us represent level of understanding. So this is the point we're supposed to do it according to our understanding this level. So this is the point here. And we are responsible, not we, even each one human. So in the judgment and opinion, it depends from us how we react according to our level of understanding. Good. This is one. Thank you.
Thank you. So, brethren, I think as sort of summarizing, we have a responsibility certainly to obey laws, to pay taxes, to cooperate. And interestingly enough, if you look at some of the reprints, Brother Russell said, should have no problem with things like jury duty, serving as a witness. But when it comes to those areas where we know that the Lord's rulership is above, we don't have any thoughtless consent or any revolutionary movement. That's not the way God deals with things. And we are to remain, I think, as he said, a judging kind of transforming influence for good. So let's look at the second question that Paul raises for us here. And the second question is, what are our responsibilities to all people? And he puts it here from the New American Standard, they must not slander anyone, but be peaceable, gentle, showing complete courtesy to all people. Now, I would like everyone to raise their hands that shows complete courtesy to all people. Okay, very good. Brother Jan, what does this mean to you? Jan, Klaus, what would this mean to you?
Well, I look at it as from Luke 10:27, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy strength and with all thy mind and thy neighbor as thyself. And then from Romans 13:10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor, therefore loves the fulfilling of the law. And from Galatians 5:14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word. Even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I think that with anything that we go into, we have to love that person as thyself. And all principles and everything that we have, we know that our Savior died for the world of mankind. God had the plan. And why? Because he loved mankind. And I know that one song we sang at camp, I sang as a little child when I was in the Lutheran church, and they will know we are Christians by our love. And I think that that's very, very special and true. All the other, what the brethren have said, we have to watch our tongues. But in everything that we do, we need to do it in love. Over.
Good.
Brother Len?
Yes. Sister Lee Man? Yes.
I'm a bit confused.
Okay.
Can you tell me what time this meeting ends?
This meeting ends at East Coast time, 6:45.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Let's look at Luke 6:9. Well, okay, got another hand up here. I got a call on my cousin, Brother Jim Parkinson, my distant cousin. Brother Jim.
I need to unmute here. I've had my own troubles with this scripture for over 60 years about speaking evil of no man, but it has come to my attention that if I'm going to have an opportunity to witness to somebody, it's better that he not remember that I spoke evil of him.
Certainly right. Good. Brother Ted.
Yes, Brother Len. This, each of us, you know, actually, I tell you a story that my parents, from the young, very child of young, to teach me how to treat other people, how to treat neighbors, my friends, everything. He said this way, your freedom cannot cost other person freedom. That number rule one. Yeah. So you can curse people, you can bless people. Remember this one. So the point is here, it depends how I react, how is level of my understanding, the point is. The point is that this I should treat people as I am expected to be treated the same thing to the others. Thank you.
Thank you. Can I get someone to read Luke 6:9? Okay. Sister Donna Burke, I saw your hand come up first.
One minute. Sorry. Okay. Then said Jesus to them, I will ask you one thing. Is it lawful on the Sabbath days to do good or to do evil, to save life or to destroy it?
I remember Jesus had healed a man with a paralyzed right hand on the Sabbath. And they criticized him for this. And this was Jesus' response. What I'd like to know is how would you apply this scripture, this command from Jesus in your life as you deal with others?
Brother Len?
Okay, Sister Lee?
I don't know how to put my hand up on my phone.
Okay, I guess it's okay. I hear you.
I think, you know, I don't know everything that's been said in this meeting. But I think we should treat people as if they were Jesus. Because how would we be able to explain to Jesus we were terrible? And if Jesus expects us to be loving and good, well, it's the same way we should treat him. Over.
Okay. Maybe I put it this way. Here's a real life situation, okay? And thinking about how you apply this in your life. We're talking here, it seems to me, about the value. What is the value of individual human life? One who's not necessarily a brother or sister. What value do you place on that human life? You're on your way to a meeting. Okay, you're running late. You see an accident. You're leading the meeting. or you have a responsibility, do you stop there to try to help? Okay, Sister Pat, I got you first, and then Brother Ron Chastain. Sister Pat.
I'm a nurse, so maybe it, I have a different priority, but you do stop and give aid, and I think any person would. But I kind of take it from a different angle when you said, how do you apply this in your Christian life? To me, what God knows every experience and permits every experience that we come to face. And so when we come upon a situation like that, it's God placing that opportunity for us to have that experience. And I think about the Good Samaritan. The example of the Good Samaritan is a good example of you may think you're on your way to the meeting, to the Bible study, and then you have someone that needs your, requires your help. You don't really have a choice. God put you there for a reason. He directs all of our life experiences, and I think that that's my answer.
Good. Because this is a matter of priorities. Is this a matter of spiritual versus earthly, or is this a matter of what Jesus says? Is it good or evil? Brother Ron Chastain.
The scriptures that did God make man for the Sabbath or the Sabbath for man? Well, we know the answer to that. He made the Sabbath for man's rest, but we had experience, Barbara and I, we had the two kids. I had a country squire Ford station wagon. We were going to my parents for Thanksgiving. And we were driving on a two-lane highway, and there was a stoplight we come up to, and the light had turned green for us, and somebody run through the stoplight, and we hit him. What I hit was a VW bug. You know what a VW bug is? It's got the engine in the back.
Yep.
And that country squire Ford didn't. It was like hitting a barrel or something. It hit the side of the car, or the driver's side, and spun it around, and the person that was driving the car fell out. I stopped the car. There weren't very many people because it was a holiday, and the girl, it was a girl, a teenager, she was on the highway, and she was shaking. She was shaking, and kind of like an epileptic thing. And so we had a blanket in the station wagon, and I ran and got that, and I covered her and got her some water, but she was in shock, actually absolutely shocked. So by the time the police got there, Lynn, it took about 15-20 minutes, but when they got there, they said by us keeping her warm for the time that we were there and stayed with her till the paramedics got there, we probably saved her life. Yeah. So I don't know if that is what you're looking for, but that happened to us.
Yeah, I think it's that sort of thing, brother. Brother Carl Hagensick used to have a saying, said we can be so spiritually minded that we're no earthly good. And I think the principle is that here with Jesus, save a life or follow the letter of the law. It's there. Several hands up now. So I'm going to take these, and then we're going to try to get to one of the other questions. So first, I'm going to call on those that haven't had a chance to talk yet. Brother Bob Bram, you're next.
I was thinking of the second greatest commandment when Jesus was asked what the greatest one is. He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then he could have stopped right there because he was just asked about the greatest. But he said, well, there's another one that's like it. That's love your neighbor as yourself. And the person that's injured has an immediate need. It's a time sensitive need. Going to the meeting is not time sensitive. I mean, it's going to be okay. The meeting will be fine somehow, but this person needs immediate help, and we have an obligation, just second place to loving our Heavenly Father. And that's helping our fellow man. So I think it would be appropriate, clearly appropriate to stop and help.
Yeah. I mean, Bob Goodman mentioned earlier being ambassador for Christ.
Yeah.
If you're an ambassador You got to take an interest in the people. If you don't have an interest, why are you doing in this run for the prize of the high calling? Father Tom Gilbert.
Thank you, Brother Len. I've appreciated many of the comments. And I was going to primarily speak of what Bob just spoke on, the second commandment, love your neighbor as yourself. And many of you know that Janice and I have had some unique experiences that the Lord has put in our pathway. And one of the things when I think of the love your neighbor as yourself, Jesus didn't give any exceptions. And, you know, there's no list of exceptions we can put down of those of this lifestyle or that lifestyle or this political thinking or that political thinking. Jesus died to save all of them, and we must have that same perspective. And you know, one of the things that has been so impactful in our experiences is to learn to humanize even those who are in prisons and jails who have, you know, have committed crimes, or the people that haven't but are there anyway. And so these experiences are very valuable. And so we all have different pathways. And that's why I kind of appreciated Brother John Harris's comments, too. It's a different pathway that the Lord leads us on. And we need to not be in judgment of one another on those things, but we need to live that second commandment and realize Jesus didn't give any exceptions for any group. Thank you.
Very good. Next, Gretchen Grice.
Thank you, Brother Len. This actually, we were involved with an incident that happened on our way to the meeting, and I don't remember if you were supposed to be leading the meeting that day, but we were witnesses to an accident where somebody came across, he went through a red light or a stop sign and hit two pedestrians, and we were the first ones at the scene, but we saw the bodies fly. And I said, I don't even know if you stopped the car, but I just remember, get me out of this car. And I jumped out and ran over there and, you know, and had sent people to get ambulance, everything like that. But I think you have to let your conscience be your guide in a way too, because you never should err on doing the right thing, you know, whatever it is. And if you're going to feel bad about something you should have done, then you should have. And the Heavenly Father, like everybody has said, you know, that's one of our commandments, is to love not only our neighbors, but our enemies. And if we have an opportunity to serve not only the brethren, but our neighbors, that is the right thing to do. And we should do it because they would probably help you. If we were in need, they would be helping us. End of comment.
So again, good point. You know, we're focusing on individuals, and that's really, when you look at our world today, the world gets categorized, this group or this group. We don't see each other as individuals. We see us as a political element or a religious element. We don't see each other as individuals, and that's what we've got to do. And that's the problem with racism. That's the problem with anything like that. We don't see each other as individuals, and that's what Jesus is telling us here. That's what he did. He with this man on the Sabbath. Next, Mark or Karen Beers.
Oh, okay.
Hello, brother. Thank you. And so just Jesus' words, the end of Matthew 25, we all know them. Lord, when did we see you hungry? And he answered, I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not also do it to me.
Very good. Thank you. And Brother Ted, you'll have the last comment on this, and we're going to have to move on here.
Thank you, Brother Len. I think this is very, very interesting and very deep and subject. What we need to understand is, well, we are human, all of us. We are human, and it would be good to treat the people as we expected the same thing. I give you an example. Remember, brethren, maybe scripture, what God said to Isaac about the Abraham, your father was obedient to my law. Actually, wait a minute. A law was given to the Moses 400 years later. What kind of law he is talking about? See, brethren, this is your position as a human. React as a human. This is the point here. So we treat the people same thing what we're supposed to treat as a human to human. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Ted. Well, again, this is one that we can go on for a long time. I want to focus, though, on in the last few minutes we have left here, this number three about the reasons Paul gives for us living differently in verses 3-7. And let just remind you what he says there. He says, we ourselves were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived. But after that, the kindness of and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by our own righteousness, but by his. What's the reason? And we've talked about what we should do in helping others. But how do we do this and still stand apart from the world? How do you do it? How do you show this idea of letting your light shine or being the salt and being the salt of the earth? How do you personally do that in your own ministry or in your own associations with others?
Great is it that we get to tell everybody how Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance, so you only pay for what you need. And
Sister Joan White, you got your thank you. I thought that was Liberty Mutual speaking to me. So,
Brother Lynn, Sister Donna.
Ah, Sister Donna, good.
Hello, Brother Lynn. First of all, I want to say amen to Brother Mark Bears, who read that that in Matthew. And then how I do it is I have a friend. She told me that her dead grandson was just walking around the earth. So how I did that was to not get caught all up into everything that they were in and how they believe. I just send scriptures, and I told her I'm going to send her when a man dies. But they always have these parties, and they invite me and Larry. I don't go to the parties, but I'll always send a text and say, thank you for inviting me. So I don't mingle with them and not personally get involved, if you understand what I'm saying. But when they say something that's religious, I take that as an opportunity from the Lord to witness. Brother Lynn.
Thank you, Sister Donna. Very good. And I'm going to go to Brother Bob and Sister Rebecca, since they haven't spoken yet.
Heard.
Start again.
What? Okay. You might have heard our little explanation. One day, a few years ago, we were thinking of that scripture, do good unto all men, especially the household of faith. And Bob and I looked at each other, hey, we do only the household of faith. So we decided to volunteer at a food kitchen, just 2 hours a week on a Wednesday. It wasn't a big chunk of time, but it was a very big, wonderful education, thinking like all these people, all these different kind of people are the ones we'll be working with in the kingdom. And certain ones, we would be kind to everybody. And if there was a kind of a response, we'd plant a little seed and we'd, witness to them. And,
Rebecca gave out a lot of the blessings tracts, and, just so that we don't overstay our opportunity here, I'd like to squeeze something in also. I think scriptures, that suggest that we henceforth know we no man after the flesh. We do need to think about our opportunity, that is our vocation, and try to work into it that we try to preach Christ and Christ alone. But I don't think that's been our policy either. I think we failed in that to some degree. We might preach aspects of the promise to Abraham, which I think is where we began many of our lessons.
I'm trying to remember exactly where we started with Brother Paul Lagneau when he came to our home, but I am sure he remembered some of that. the other side of the coin is trying to remember that we do want to have this mind in us, which was in Christ Jesus. And the mind of Christ Jesus was to do what his Father asked him to do. And we don't tend to want to do that either. We had some very interesting testimonies today at in our class, and I won't go over them right now, but I could tell you one of my aspects of things. I tend to lose track of what I should be doing, and I let my plans, my personal plans, my preferences take the lead, and after which point I can become less than what Paul would like me to be in following him as he follows Christ. I can really mess things up pretty badly because I allow my plans to all of a sudden dominate what I'm thinking, and it is something that you almost can't get out of your head after a while if you insist on it being your way, or my way, I should say.
Thank you, Brother Bob. Well, Brother Steve, I was going to call on you, but since you're the chairman, I wasn't sure, since it's your convention, we're out of time. So thank you for lowering your hand.
Yeah, that's great. Thanks.
I just want to close with one scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:20. Somebody mentioned it. Ambassadors for Christ. What are the guidelines for an ambassador? Here's the 6 guidelines for an ambassador. Personal integrity. Alertness to the problems and dignity of individuals. Third, objectivity. Fourth, being independence. Fifth, the development of others. And last, an interest in the major problems of the day. We can maintain that. We have to understand that to be a good ambassador. And again, thank you, brother, for your comments. And this is a good study subject for you if you have some time that you don't know what to consider as a study, because I think it's important and puts our position in living in this world to understand what it is that we're commissioned to do.